30.
Yeah, good morning. That came on quick, didn't it? All right, welcome to the I Need More Money radio show. I'm your host, Matt Manero, where I come to you every Thursday from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Hey, let's not forget it's a call-in show. Give us a buzz at 866-606-8255. What is the show about? It's about the most hated topic on the planet, money. Your money, your life, trying to get your money and your life right. There's only a few guys that talk about it like we're trying to talk about it. We're trying to take money from the back room and put it on the dinner table. Because the fact of the matter is most people don't have enough money. Of course, it all dovetails to the book that's coming out in the fall, guys. So I hope you guys look forward to buying that. It's called I Need More Money, What to Do When You Wake Up and You Don't Have Enough. It'll be out in the fall of this year. I got some incredible guests with me in the studio today. We're packed in kind of tight. We usually don't have five in here, but we do today. I've got my buddy RJ Grimshaw from Unify Equipment Finance. He's the president and CEO of Unify, and I have his number one sales guy. Tyler, how do I pronounce your last name? Letow.
I've heard it many ways. That's close enough for me.
Yeah, Letow. Very good. His number one dog, a major eight-figure-a-year producer. It's a fist bump right there. And hey, man, we're talking about stuff that matters. Today's topic, we're talking about this idea of personal responsibility. I'm at the bagel shop this morning. I told this story in our morning scrum. As you know, we do our scrum every morning at 9:30. And today I told this story because it impacted me so much. I'm at the bagel shop. I don't go there every day. My trainer doesn't like me eating bagels. Even though today was egg white with two slices of cheddar, I said, leave the meat off. That was still probably, what, 800 calories, something like that?
You'll burn it off.
I'll burn it off. We'll do the boot camp today and burn it off. So I get to the front of the line, and all of a sudden I feel this woman, this person come up right next to me on my right-hand side, and I could tell she's hot. Something's bothering her. But she doesn't say anything when I order my bagel. We move through the line to the checkout counter, and she unloads on this guy. She's so bent out of shape. By the way, she's in her American Airlines jacket, and she quickly tells the guy at the counter that she's bitter, just completely bent out of shape, that she had to drive all the way back to the American Airlines training center without her bagels. So she drove all the way back to the bagel shop right at the same time that I'm at the bagel shop, and I get to hear the whole thing happen. And she tells him how upset she is. She's a first-time customer. She'll never come back to the place that she didn't get her bagels. Now, meanwhile, there's about 40 of these what are called grab-and-go boxes, right? It's the baker's dozen. Instead of 12, you get 13 if you just take the box and head out. I think it's 12 or 13 bucks, something like that. She didn't leave with hers. She bought it, but she didn't leave with hers. And she wanted to blame everybody in the store for the fact that she forgot this box of bagels, drove all the way to her American Airlines place without them. So finally, the manager says something which I thought was very funny. He says, man, they're called grab and goes. I guess you just didn't, you went, but you didn't grab. And I got a good chuckle out of that. She didn't get a chuckle out of that. But of course, he gave her a new box and off she went. Here's what happened, though, gang. The poor little girl behind the counter that she just berated felt terrible. I was embarrassed for this little old lady. The manager was put in a weird spot. He had to eat another box of, or really had to sort of have a quandary of, did she really steal a box? Did she pay for a box? Whatever, we're going to give her a box. And then this poor lady, right? We my family, in the last 12 months, we have been affected by cancer 4 different times. 3 people have died, and one, my wife's best friend, has pancreatic cancer in her mid-50s, and she will be dead within a year. And this lady is berating people over a box of a baker's dozen of bagels. With her American Airlines jacket on, by the way, name-dropping American Airlines. I'm sure American Airlines wouldn't be all that happy about that, right? Come on, man. We got to get it together, folks. We got to get our personal accountability, our personal responsibility correct. And that's why I got RJ and Tyler on the show with me today. Man, we're going to talk about it. We're players. We're guys who have achieved a certain level of success in our lives. And the reason for that is because we have taken personal responsibility. So if you're listening to a show called I Need More Money, you're looking to take some more responsibility. You've recognized a weakness, and we're going to explore it because these guys, my buddies, are going to be with us for the entire show. Am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
You know it.
I love it. Let's take a caller real quick in segment one. I want to go to the lines. I got a guy named Rico on the line. Hello, Rico.
Good morning.
Rico.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Rico?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Rico, do you take personal responsibility for the success or failures in your life?
Of course I do.
And are you pleased? Huh?
Every day I wake up and I want success. That's the goal. Every morning.
Awesome. Awesome. Rico, talk to us, buddy. We all know who you are. You work with RJ and with Tyler. So how you doing, man?
Great. Month's end, cranking away. I'm like, I got to get on this call with Matt. I need more money.
That's how it plays out. But look, Rico, how old are you?
26.
So are you even really in the I need to worry about more money stage of your life yet? Or does that only happen when you're about 45 with a big house payment and two kids getting ready to go to college?
Right. But I mean, I cannot complain for more money. Definitely. I'm not where I'm dying to get extra money, but money helps.
Yeah, it does, man. How many people in your age group actually worry about it, though, Rico? What do you think most 26-year-olds are thinking about?
You know, I think most 26-year-olds are really looking to just start their career. Really, a lot, you know, when you're 21, 22, you're kind of starting your beginner jobs, kind of to start off. But really, when you start to become 25, 26, you want to be kind of established, establish yourself and really start moving in your career.
Hmm. You think your buddies are focused on that? You actually think they're focused on moving their career in the next direction, making more money, or are they still in the, you know, have some fun and I'll still figure it out a little bit later stage?
I think 25, 26, you're really starting to be like, I need to get going here. I need to start my career. Can't just party on the weekends. You need to start hustling.
But, dude, you party on the weekends. I seen your Facebook page. I know, man. I saw your Austin trip on Facebook, pal. Hey, RJ's popping in here. What do you got, RJ?
So, Rico, here's the question for you. I know a lot of your buddies realize that they have to start focusing on their career. Are they willing to put in the extra work like you have the last couple of years to go to the next level?
You know, that's a great question. I have buddies that are, and I have buddies that aren't. And really, it's are you motivated? Do you want to become successful? You really have to want it to keep moving further. And some buddies are kind of just strutting along. They're okay with their 9-to-5 jobs, go home and, you know, kind of detox from everything versus the people, some of my buddies that are like, yeah, I want to do better. I want to grow. I'm looking for new opportunities every day, networking with friends, networking with pretty much everyone you meet. So there's definitely two sides and two different friends that I have.
And who do you enjoy hanging out with more?
Well, the successful people. I like to surround myself with successful people. That's why I'm hanging out with RJ. I'm hanging out with Tyler. Giving a call to Monero. When Monero's down, of course, I'm going to come visit Monero.
That's awesome, Rico. Look, man, I think it's a tremendous opportunity for your age group. You know, whether we're calling your age group or your generation millennials or whatever the nameplate wants to be, man, you guys have a tremendous opportunity against guys that, like RJ and I in our age bracket. If we are behind in our savings, it's harder for us to make up the 20 years that you have on our side. And in the book, I Need More Money, we actually, you know, we do the compound interest thing. That's not a difficult thing. You don't need to read my book to get it. You can get compound interest impact anywhere on the internet. But start at 25 years old, drop $100 in, get 6-8% return. And by the time you're 45 years old, you will probably not have to put another dime into it. Whereas 46-year-olds starting from scratch will have to put thousands into it to try to catch up to you because of your head start. So the younger generation has an incredible opportunity if they can stay disciplined enough to just put a few bucks away. That number for a guy like you, Rico, is a couple hundred bucks a month. If you can put that away in a mutual fund and pick up 6, 7, 8% annual return, you will be fine. You will literally be fine. The challenge is, you know, do you have the discipline to do it? Or are you in an opportunity to make enough where you can actually stack and rack that extra couple hundred bucks?
And making the right decisions of either buying the car on the showroom floor and or buying a used car that will be a lower payment so you can sock away that money.
Totally. For the women in the audience, is it a pair, is it a Prada purse at $2,000 or something else? Hey, stick around. We're moving into segment two here. Remember, 866-606-8255. Thanks. I didn't forget about my caller, Rico. Rico, I appreciate you staying on. How you doing, pal?
Good, good. Sticking around.
Don't worry, we did not talk about you during the break, Rico.
I did, sorry.
So, Rico, I know you didn't call just to get razzed by us, buddy. You have any specific questions for me or anything that I might be able to help? The audience is always interested in good quality stuff. What you got?
Yeah, definitely. What kind of qualities do you look for when you're looking for successful people?
Okay, I think it's a great question. I appreciate the question very much. All three of us, let's jump in on Rico's question. But, you know, we had talked about this on one of the previous shows. The first thing that I look for is a competitive spirit. I want a guy who wants to beat the next guy. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't work well with others, but I'm looking for someone who has a competitive edge. So I'd like to see some athletic background, whether it's high school or college or advanced, you know, athletics. I'd like to see someone who has risen up the ladder board, and it could even be in Boy Scouts or Eagle Scouts. It doesn't have to be athletics, but I want someone who has some experience in coming in first or second place in a few different things that they've done in their lives, because then I can tap back into that. You know, a lot of people have that earlier on in life, and then somehow real life takes over and
sucks it right out of them.
And so when I know that I've got somebody that has that, I can grab that, I can help them tap into that again pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And it's usually just lying dormant, you know. They want it.
They have that fire and desire. And to add to that, I always look for the compete levels high, but also if they're a life learner, because anything that you do in life, around your life and or in business, you always have to continue to be getting better every single day. And it's not just studying books, but it's studying people around you and what is your current environment. So that's always a question that I ask. What are you currently reading? Who's your mentors? And that doesn't necessarily have to be business or sports, but it tells a lot about a person and if they have that in terms of being a life learner.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll piggyback on what Matt said about, you know, the athletics and growing there. I like to look for someone who's been measured, who's used to getting measured, who's used to being under the microscope and being relied on and expected to perform. And I think athletics is a great, you know, life stage to learn life lessons, because from day one, you're competing against your own teammates for position. You're competing against, you know, the opponents. And in that environment, you're always getting measured. And you want someone who's used to that and thrives in that environment.
Mm-hmm. You know, Rico, one last thing on that. I mean, Nick DiPaolo in our office, I hired Nick not because he was a competitive guy, although we have come to find out, guess what? Nick was a competitive Golden Globes boxer.
Really?
Oh, no, didn't know that in the hiring process. Yeah. I should have known that, but I didn't. You look at him, you wouldn't say that.
No, you wouldn't think so.
You know, Nick's had a few too many cheesesteaks since those days. But I hired Nick because he was funny. He was a funny guy, made me laugh in the interview process, and I knew that he would be able to make customers and vendors laugh. Mm-hmm. And that we could work around that. He had some mortgage experience too, so I knew that he understood our business enough. So I think those are the comments there. Now, Rico, you maybe saying to yourself, well, maybe I'm not that guy, or someone listening might say, but I'm not that guy. I haven't won. I didn't reach position number one or number two in anything in my life. Well, now what am I supposed to do? Am I over? Is it over? No. But guess what? It's going to be a little harder for you. It's going to be a little harder for you to get on the winning field, but you can. You just got to do more than the next guy.
The other thing I look for, too, is that attitude to win at competitive level, but also when they don't win, how they react, because that's the character builder and how they deal with that situation. We had an instance this week that we lost a certain transaction in our organization, and it was just from circumstances that are outside of our control. So you learn from it, and how does that person in that position react to it? Winning sting or losing stings, and when I used to coach sports and you coach sports, that drive home, and when you played, drive home when you, after a loss was always a heck of a lot longer than after we won. And those nights going to bed were always a longer night's sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and you toss and turn. So it's winning. But it's also how do you react when you lose the circumstance and get better.
How long do you stay down?
Yeah.
Right? Because you have to fail to win. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, Rico, my friend, I'm proud of your success. I appreciate you taking the initiative to give us a call. I wish you nothing but the best as you continue on and kick butt in our industry. Because on a side note here, buddy, guys like you and Tyler have tremendous opportunity in our industry because there isn't young blood. There's literally a 20-year gap between you guys and upper management today, and that's an incredible opportunity. That means in your 30s, late 30s, there are tremendous president and CEO opportunities for you guys in the leasing business. And there's the thing I've said about our business from day one is I knew there was money in our business. So I knew the platform was a good platform, right? And that's an important part. So, Rico, appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, appreciate everything you do, Matt. Have a good one, fellas.
Thanks.
Hey, later, buddy.
Take care, Rico.
Love that guy, Rico, man. Love that guy, Rico.
Rico's a great success story. A little bit of backdrop. I met Rico 2 years ago actually having a cigar. Didn't know Rico. Had one conversation with him, half an hour. And I said to Marianne, my wife, I said, I'm going to hire that guy. And she goes, I could already tell that you're going to hire that guy. He had no experience in our industry. We put him through a training program. And last year, he transitioned into sales and had an absolutely incredible year last year. But he has all the attributes that you look for, I look for, Tyler looks for. Life learner, competitive, always getting better, surrounds himself with the right people. And he has the hunger and desire to get better, and then the why.
Plus, he's funny, too.
He's a funny guy. You instantly connect with him.
Yeah.
You can instantly...
You like him.
You like him. Mm-hmm. And in anything you do in life, people have to first like you before they're going to do business with you. And
you
he's coachable. It. Extremely coachable.
Hey, let's grab another call here. We got Dan on the line here. Dan, thank you for calling. What is on your mind?
Hey, how are you today?
Awesome, buddy. How are you?
I'm good.
Dan, we're down to 2 minutes in this segment, so if you don't mind, hit us with your question right away.
Real quick, I run a video and photography service, and I used to have a partner, and unfortunately I put my faith in the wrong person, so now I'm kind of like on damage control trying to rebuild. Any kind of suggestions on like what would be the easiest, not even the easiest, but like the best way to go about handling all that? Because she really badly damaged my reputation, and I lost a lot of clients due to that.
So, you know, it's an interesting question on an interesting day today. We're talking about personal responsibility, right? Have you taken full responsibility for the fact that you went into business with a rat and somebody who, you know, because what I heard from you, my friend, was that she damaged your brand and your image. Well, you know, you had something to do with that. So.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, what it is, you know, unfortunately, I tried to take some shortcuts, and I put my faith into the wrong person, and I totally take responsibility for that. So that's why now I'm trying to figure out the best way to fix that situation.
You bet. Listen, I'm down. We're about coming up on a hard break here in segment two, but your question is perfect, man. There's a lot of people out there that have had the exact same thing. I mean, the old adage in business is the only ship that doesn't sail is a partnership, right? So there's a lot of examples of those that didn't go well. So stick around, if you would, Dan. Let me bring you back in segment three, and let's really address this, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
Thanks a lot. Stick around.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah, we're back. Segment three of the I Need More Money radio show. I've got my two great guests here today, RJ Grimshaw, president, CEO of Unify Equipment Finance, and his number one top dog sales guy, Tyler. We are here. Follow these two guys. RJ is RJG Coach on Twitter. Tyler, yours is TJ.
Lee Tao. First two initials and the last name. That's all you need.
Spell the last name.
L-E-I-T-O-W, Lee Tao. Find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. I'm everywhere.
He's paying for followers, by the way.
And Tyler, actually, Tyler, you might not know this. Tyler is actually an attorney as well, and he writes a lot of content on LinkedIn and provides a lot of legal information around contracts. So if you follow him, you're going to get great advice, different from maybe sales advice, but legal advice.
Beautiful, beautiful. And Tyler, are you relating your law degree to our industry now?
Absolutely. I mean, you know this. You get a deal, customer asks, you know, can I change this? Can I change that? And being able to, you know, on the spot say yes, yes, no is very powerful.
That's great. Hey, I want to pick up with our last caller, Dan. Are you still on the line with us?
Yep, still here.
Dan, you're a champ for sticking around through the commercial break. I appreciate it. Just to give the audience a recap, you're in the video and photography business. You had a falling out with your partner, and your question today was, what are some ideas that we may have to help you rebrand, if you will, or rebuild your brand because you feel the partner did some damage? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because unfortunately what happened was when we had our falling out, it got to the point where things got spiteful. And there was a lot of damage done purposely, and now I've been on damage control for probably about 6 or 7 months now, just trying to rebuild relationships with former clients, still out there trying to pull in new ones, but now this time I'm doing it all by myself because unfortunately I put my faith in the wrong person because I got lazy, you know what I mean? And I know that. I know I got lazy, so it was my own fault. Now I'm just trying to rebuild everything and pretty much start from scratch.
So what do you think was the primary reason? By the way, was your partner a male or a female?
Female.
It was. Were you guys dating?
No, but that kind of tied into it a little bit, and we weren't on the same page, and that's kind of where all the problems started.
I wasn't interested in dating,
and that started causing problems. So that's why I had to sever the partnership.
Got it. Why didn't you want to date her?
I'm old school. Like, if it's business, it's business. If it's friendship, it's friendship. And I try not to mix the two.
I've always been that way
because I try to stay focused on what the goals are.
I know I'm digressing a little bit, but if you weren't in business together, would you have dated her?
No, I don't really think I would have because we didn't click that way. We were good working together, but outside of it, we spent too much time together working, so there was really no time to build a relationship outside of the business.
Got it. But she didn't see it that way, and that's where the spite comes from. So she feels slighted that you weren't attracted to her, you weren't into her, and therefore she took it personally, right? She felt bad about that.
Yeah,
I mean, is that fair to say?
It just became really uncomfortable working situation, so unfortunately I had to sever it, and then that's when the problems really started because she was still using my business name, and I wasn't aware of it. Until probably 2 or 3 months later, I was catching that she was still out doing jobs that I wasn't even told about.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I mean, I think it's an important question, and we actually have an attorney in here with us right now, right? So, I mean, Tyler, there are some things that we can touch upon here that both Dan, so you don't repeat that mistake, Dan, and the audience who may be in a similar situation or thinking about going into partnership. I mean, Tyler, let's put your hat on from a law standpoint. What rule number one going into partnership, going into business is?
It's all business. No, keep the personal out. Dan, you know, the first thing that pops out to me is, now you said it degraded over time. So two questions for you, buddy. One, what was the thing that you saw initially that said, yes, I want to partner with her? And two, once it started going south, what stopped you from just stopping it right there?
Well, the first thing, the reason why I wanted to partner with her in the first place is, one, she's a very talented photographer, and I'm more on the video end of things, so I was just learning photography at that point. So that's why I brought her in, was to make up for the skills that I was lacking. And the thing is, too, also, I don't fit the stereotype. I have the tattoos, I have a couple of piercings, because I'm also a musician and a pro wrestler.
So it's like every time I went in to do a job, like they looked at me and they couldn't take me serious as a professional because of the tattoos and everything. And I noticed I got a lot of discrimination because of that. So she had the business look. So I kind of would put her out there as the icebreaker and then bring me in. And then that's when I would do all the talking and all the selling.
So, RJ, what would you say to Dan as he now needs to rebuild this business, rebuild the brand, and then potentially even, you know, deflect the arrows that still may be coming his direction?
My recommendation is don't get caught up in the circumstance. Move on. Stop bringing it up. Stop discussing how she tarnished your brand, your image, and focus on what you're going to do to rebuild your brand and business. Because you lead with, it's been 6 months. That's a long time. And it should be talking about what's my plan moving forward and what's my plan to reestablish my brand.
Yeah, I'm at that point right now where I'm still trying to figure that out.
So, Dan, here's a couple takeaways that I'd love to give you as we get ready to close here. The first thing that I would suggest to you is you're in New York, right?
Yes.
I can just hear it in the voice.
Oh, yeah.
But here's my point, man. It's a massive place. This one woman, old partner, good photographer doesn't have any impact on the marketplace. The market is massive. So get out there and find share that you didn't even know existed that will make this, you know, situation that you had with her totally irrelevant. Secondly, never beat yourself up over who you are, buddy. If you got piercings and you got tattoos, to be perfectly honest with you, that sounds like a video production and photographer to me. I mean, you'd get the interview in my office.
Use it to your advantage.
Use it to your advantage, man. Play it up. Find like-minded people. It could open an incredible niche in the piercing and the tattoo marketplace for you to be creating videos and doing photo shoots for those kinds of people. Mm-hmm. So never apologize for who you are, whether you're wearing Vineyard Vines and you look like a prep from Connecticut or you got some tattoos and some piercings, man, you are who you are. Play that up. People care about that brand.
It's your story.
It's who you are, man.
Tell it, use it, and find, like Matt said, like-minded people to go do business with. But I talk about this all the time with my boys. Flush it, the situation, forget about it, and never talk about it again. You have to go forward. And it's been 6 months, and you say, well, I'm getting to that point. It's got to stop today. Never talk about it again. Forget about her. Forget about the situation and move forward.
Okay, buddy, we got to hop, Dan. I appreciate your call, man. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
You got it, buddy. Guys, I'd normally like to do a good recap on that because there's so much for the audience to hear, but I want to grab this other caller here. So I'm going to take in our third caller for the day. Jump on the line here. This is Matt Monero. You're on the I Need More Money radio show. Oh, we don't have the caller online? Great. Then let's go ahead and recap with Dan.
And so many people get caught up in situations like that. It's been 6 months. He needed a kick in the butt 4 months ago,
yeah.
3 months yeah. ago, 5 months ago. And he continues to focus on, there's a lot of things going on there. And then when he talked about his piercings and his tattoos and he's a wrestler and he's in a band, I'm not so sure he's focused in the right areas. Yeah. He might have too many things going on, and now he's using her as an excuse why he's having these issues. He was asleep at the driving wheel, and now he's using that as an excuse not to move forward.
Yeah, or RJ as well. He wasn't connected to his partnership, to his why and the right foundation, right? He was still just dabbling in. Could I make it as a video guy? So let me go ahead and try. She's gonna help me. I could squeeze a little bit of money. Man, you gotta go all in. You gotta commit all in. Okay, let's jump on. We got Joseph, our third caller of the day. Joseph, I'm Matt Monero. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. I got two great guests here. I got RJ Grimshaw and Tyler Letow with us. What's your question, buddy?
My question is, what do you do in a situation where you're stuck financially and where you try to re-educate yourself and go back to school and it hasn't paid off? And so you're stuck with the loan and you have no job.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, it's a situation that I think a lot of people actually face. But here's when people tell me that they're busted broke, I always need to put that into perspective. Because, you know, I really feel like I've been busted broke. Like, I mean busted, don't know where the next meal's going to come from, right? So, Joseph, how busted are you? I mean, talk to me. How much money do you owe? What does your bank account have in it? I got 1 minute, so give it to me now, and then I'm going to carry you over to the last segment.
Well, I owe about $50,000.
$50,000 in student loans, okay. And then how about your bank account? How much you got in the bank?
I don't have a lot because every month it goes to paying my mortgage.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, how much is not a lot? Hundreds, thousands? What do you got?
I have about $20,000.
$20,000 in the bank? Okay, yeah. Stick with me, buddy. Stick with me because I'm gonna help you with this. And RJ and Tyler, I can see them. They're jumping through the mic. Stick with us, Joseph. We're going to help you with this. Stick around.
Okay, great.
Be a fly on the wall in the studio today. Nuggets are being dropped in here, man. So watch this video on cffnation.com under the I Need More Money. You'll be able to get the behind the scenes clips of what we're talking about during the breaks. We've got Joseph on the line. Joseph called just as we finished segment three, talking about, Joseph, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you feel a little bit helpless. You're not sure what to do. You got some student loan debt. You're worried that the cash in the bank is too light, and you're just not sure what to do. Is that a fair synopsis?
I think stuck or helpless. That's not maybe helpless, but stuck. Absolutely.
And stuck, let's just talk about stuck where? Stuck in your life or stuck in your career? I mean, are you happy with the way your life is, or are you unhappy in life and in career?
No, I think it's more career. Oriented because I went back to school to get another degree that I thought would help be more profitable as far as income, and it hasn't paid out yet.
So what was the degree, Joseph?
It was nursing.
Nursing? That's to me, I think nursing to me is like is like one of the automatics. The nursing's like it's like a job in a car business. You can always get hired by a car dealership. You can always get hired as a nurse. Did you not like right. that career path?
You know what? It was good, but I had to work nights, and I have a family, a young family, and my spouse travels all the time, so it didn't work out because we couldn't get daycare at night. And usually when you're first starting off in a career, that's what happens. You have to work the third shift. So a lot of jobs weren't available to me then.
So you're happy with your spouse. You're happy with the young family. That gives you a lot of pleasure, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's the career.
It's really trying to figure out, you know, the debt versus not being able to get the right job at the right time of day in order to succeed, you know?
Let's talk about the debt real quick. $50,000 in student loan debt. I'm not exactly sure what the average student loan debt is. It will be less than $50,000. So, but I've talked to a lot of people on the show that have six-figure student loan debt, especially if they went to law school or medical school. So I wouldn't consider $50,000 a massive hill to climb. If it's $20 a thousand is debt service on a five-year deal, you're looking at about $1,000 a month to get that debt knocked out on a five-year term. What could you do right now, Joseph, to make yourself an extra $1,000 a month that could be specifically applied to this debt to get it knocked out in the next 5 years? What could you do right now? Could you tend bar? Could you work the extra shift in the hospital? What could you do?
Well, I mean, I have been doing concierge nursing, so that pays a little, you know, and it works around my schedule, but it's just not enough to keep our head above water with our mortgage. And I didn't actually take a loan out. I took a home equity loan out for the $50,000. So it's created that's a little more,
you know. Because the payment went up.
The payment went up, yes.
How much? What's the mortgage payment?
It's about $4,200 a month.
$4,200. And where do you live?
In Long Island.
In Long Island. All right. So we really have, it's the same problem that almost everyone has when it comes to I need more money. Everybody thinks it's about the mortgage and it's about the car payment and it's about the student loan debt. You know what it's about? 100% of the time, I need more revenue. Right. I need more top-line revenue, not a reduction of the expenses. This whole thing with Dave Ramsey, of the get to eating rice and beans and rice, that is such BS. You know what right. it needs? Get to work in the third shift. That's what it means. So, look, we got to get serious here, Joseph, for a minute. I'm bringing in Tyler and RJ to help me with this because you guys know my stance. My stance is figure out a way to make more money. What about you guys? What else can we do here for Joseph?
I love your stance there, and I think it's absolutely true. You're looking at your debts there, the stuff that's going out the door, the cash that's going out the door. Listen, that's not changing. So the only other answer is you got to make more money. And I think you sound like a smart guy. I think if you really put your mind to it and you put a little hustle into it, you'd figure this out. And I think maybe you're stuck. You're just staring at the wrong thing. Start focusing on what I can do instead of what I can't do. And when you start doing that, I think you're going to figure this out.
And I would say, okay. Look around your house. What assets do you have in your house that are depreciating that you can sell and liquidate to pay off that debt? And put together that plan, you and your spouse as a team, to work through the plan to pay down that debt and generate more revenue. Do you enjoy nursing? I'm still confused. Do you enjoy nursing?
You know what? I'm just starting in it. I just finished school, and I'm just starting.
So by that answer, I'll put words in your mouth. You must not enjoy it, because if you enjoyed it, you'd immediately said, I love it. So I would start looking at what are you going to do for your why to generate more revenue, because you'll have a long career if you don't love what you're doing. So, and that's a little bit different off topic here, but I think that could be the underarching challenge.
No, I think what Joseph is trying to say here is that he does like it and he'd like to get into it, but he can't make it. The career is just not working with the external circumstances of children and spouses' schedules. Is that fair to say, Joseph?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Then here's the answer. It will work. I guarantee you in nursing, there is a first shift during the day position available for you. You may have to drive an extra 15 minutes to get to it, but nursing is like truck drivers. There ain't enough of them, and they pay big money in the tri-state area, man. So your $50,000 investment that you put into your career, it's a $50,000 investment that could pay off $5 million over a career. So you need to get the ROI off of that 50 grand and look harder to find that nursing shift that fits your lifestyle needs right now. Okay, buddy. Hey, Joseph, thanks for the call, man. I hope this helped you.
No problem.
Take care of yourself.
All right. Bye. Thanks.
Guys, as we finish up in segment four, I mean, it's, you know, Joseph's a nice guy, but he's finding roadblocks.
We've all been there. Mm-hmm. We've all been in that situation. Young kids, working long hours. You know, Tyler, for example, he was doing CrossFit training a year ago to generate extra revenue.
Sure. Side hustle.
You to prepare
have
for
more
his
money,
wedding.
Right?
You have to have more money. So we talk about that all the time in our office, side hustles. And it's not to distract you from what's your number one job in generating revenue, but people have so much time that they waste after they leave the office. So much time is just absolutely wasted, low value activities.
Guys, we're wrapping up. I don't know what episode number this is. It's got to be in the 30s, maybe 40s now. I don't even know. But we appreciate everybody listening. Until the next time we talk, thanks.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.